We have Marshall Beard with us, and Marshall, you saw a documentary on the History Channel. By the way, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you saw a documentary last night on the History Channel about the Philadelphia Experiment.
Yes.
And we were looking to see if Jack Collier was one of the guys mentioned. Jack had called in the show out of the blue, and he had a pretty wild tale at the time. You saw, I guess this is an official treatment of it, a serious treatment of it last night. What's your thoughts about the whole thing?
Well, they tried to be objective about it. They tried to go through the pros and the cons. And by the way, I don't remember seeing a Jack Collier. And for those of you that don't know, it was the USS Eldridge, which was a destroyer escort. And they had the guy that was the captain of the ship on, and I don't remember his name. And of course, he said that the boat never was even in Philadelphia, that a group of his crew and he were with it from the time they started building it, so they'd know the ins and outs of it, which I guess in that period of time was I don't know if it was normal or not, but anyway, he said...
Well, I think they still were the captain of the... I know in World War II, the editor of the Washington Post, Bradley,
uh-huh.
Remembering, he had to... he went to the ship place where they were building his ship. He was a midshipman.
Well, they talked to the actual... I mean, the guy that was the captain of it, mm-hmm. The boat, anyway, was sold to the Greek Navy, and it's been cut up and sold for scrap recently. But anyway, the legend of it was all started by an alias of a guy named Carl Allen that wrote to people with the name of Carlos Miguel Allende or Al Lindy or something like that. And there was a guy named Morris Jessup that wrote a book called A Case for the UFO. And Carl Allen, alias Carlos, annotated the book, and he passed it around to some of his friends, and they wrote in the margins, they made comments about various things that this book talked about. And then they sent it to a guy in the Naval Research Headquarters, and they called the author, whose name was Morris Jessup. Anyway, so... That it kind of got started from that, because in the margins, this Carl Allen guy had written something about Project Rainbow, which was a real Navy project, but didn't have anything to do with this boat disappearing. Anyway, and the other part of the legend came from a guy named Edward Dudgeon, who was in a bar when guys were talking about that were members of this crew talking about making their boat invisible. And what they were talking about was they had a procedure where they degauss the boat like they degauss a television screen to demagnetize it. They would actually degauss these boats, demagnetize them, because it made the boats, quote, invisible, end quote, to mines. The mines wouldn't be attracted to them that way. So anyway,
I didn't even realize that mines, I thought they just kind of set out there and you ran into them or you didn't.
Well, I always thought so too, but apparently they had some that were magnetized. So if the boat, I guess they did something to the polarity of the boat.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, there was enough truth in what this Carl Allen guy wrote in the books. There was a little bit of science, but he was a brilliant guy with a high IQ, but he was not an educated fella. And he came forward later years and, you know, basically told him he had made all that stuff up. And then Berlitz got a hold of it, put it in one of his Bermuda Triangle books. And so anyway, but it was very interesting. It was worth
well, yeah, like I was telling Larry, I've never really been particularly a believer in that Philadelphia experiment, but it's interesting that over the years I've had more than one guy call me up and insist. You know, but you have those people that they sit around and you start talking about those things and they see a chance to, I mean, how am I going to know on the telephone?
Well, the last part of this program last night, they talked about transporting things like that, and they can do it with particles. They can take particles I think they use some light particles, and they can move them from here to there, but, you know, they're subatomic. To move something the size of a chair, he said, it might take us another 200 or 300 years before we can do something like that, see. So he didn't say it couldn't be done someday. He just said they couldn't do it now. And so with all the modern technology they have now, they're still looking at 200 or 300 years. You know, so
it's been cloudy this week and raining, so you haven't had a chance to look at your telescope much, I imagine.
No, I haven't. I have, matter of fact, I haven't been out at all.
I was going to ask you if you've seen one of these things yet. You now are officially our resident skeptic.
Well, you're right-wing lunatic and you're skeptic lunatic. I swear, one of these days, the guys not from outer space, the guys in the white coats are going to show up and get me.
Well, hey, Marshall, no other UFO show on the air has a resident skeptic. So,
well, you know, that is something. That is something to be said. Yeah.
I'm serious.
You guys at least let somebody argue the other side.
I thought that Larry's story was dynamic, and the kid's story was interesting.
They are interesting, and I'd really like to know what it actually was. You know, it's unidentified. It's not necessarily extraterrestrial. It's not necessarily from outer space. They don't know what it was. You know, really.
Uh-huh. So thanks, Marshall. Okay, bye-bye.